Ooh, fucking shit.
Oh, he's
the, he killed the bottle. Yo.
It's like, bro, I'm fucking retarded, dog. Like, with the stagger, I'm dumb.
What a cunt the fuck are you doing, man? Like, that was motherfucking Deep Purple with "And the Address" from the motherfucking album Shades of Deep Purple, 1968 or 9, one of the two. But regardless, nonetheless, what's Cuddy fam? Welcome back to another installment of the Tony Touch Podcast. My name is Tony. And of course. Horse, you can't hear me talk. Little suspense, little spooky, little, you know. It's the vibes. We still in the month, the spooky month up in this motherfucker. I know the fucking vibes up in this motherfucker, but ain't nothing spooky about continuing the motherfucking world tour. And this time, of course, we're coming at you live from that fucking cunts, Dublin, Ireland. Up in the fucking 1-2s, land to the fucking Notorious. Conor McGregor, home of Jameson, home of Guinness, home of... Fuck, I forgot that guy's name, but he's playing Penguin in the new Batman movie. He's also Irish. My man will look it up for me right now. But yes, of course, we're coming at you live from Dublin, Ireland, continuing the world tour. So we at the LMNG Studios made for the Dublin outage. And of course, if we're live at the one and only LMNG Studios, you know we had to come through with my co-host is with the most. He is the unofficial official co-host, the man of the hour, the man with the power. He is the hit maker, record breaker. He is the only man. He is the second man on this earth that can turn water into wine. Jesus did it first, but this man G can do it. But just don't mention it to him. Just see him at a party and just hit him up with the old AK. Fill me up right quick, fam. He's like, say less.
That guy?
No, that's from the Gotham, fool. But LMNG is the motherfucker. LMNG is motherfucker.
What's up? What's up?
I'm talking about the new Batman movie, the one with Robert Pattinson.
Let me see. All right. I'm looking for the cast.
Fucking. He was also in fucking. Hold up. Penguin. New Batman movie. It's Killian something, I think. Oh, no. Colin. Colin Farrell. Colin fucking Farrell. He was in a bunch of other movies, too. A lot of Guy Ritchie movies as well, too. The guy's a great fucking actor. But, yeah, nonetheless, another week, another... See, you know what the fuck that is? You know the face, though. You know the face. You've seen that motherfucker somewhere, bro.
Maybe. He's just probably...
That's what I'm saying. He's done, like, supporting actor roles mainly, you know? But he's really good at what he does, fam. He really just, you know, eat up the scenery when it comes to his...
Wait. Oh, he's... Did he gain weight for this show? This is like
kind a, of. It's like or it's like a little bit of it, and then prosthetic. Yeah, it's prosthetic like a motherfucker, okay, but definitely a little bit of weight change. But I don't think he got obese for that shit. But definitely the prosthetics and stuff. It's 2021. You can make a motherfucker look old, make a motherfucker like the Penguin, without really having to go all out like that. Because he's never really struck me as like a method actor.
I don't know about his look
for the Penguin.
Yeah, he just looks like a normal dude. Like,
well, that's kind of the whole point. It's supposed to kind of be a more realistic, because he has penguin-like features, you know, the fat cheeks, the pointy nose, and he has to put on his little thing. Plus, you have to hear the guy talk, too, you know. See? On the penguin, see? Wah, Batman, wah. But anyways, welcome back. We are back at it again. Actually, before we were talking about, before we actually cue the mics up and we play a little bit of Deep Purple, we're talking about some finances, because, you know, in life, there's three things that are certain in this life: death, taxes, and some big old yitties. But unfortunately, the taxes is very true. You got to be careful with the finances. But I was talking to G, for those people that have been keeping up with the podcast. So recently, Compton PD ain't got nothing better to do than try to bring down your boy here. They caught your boy on the Candy Compton cameras out here busting what they claim to be an illegal U-turn, even though A, the light was green, and B, there was no fucking cars coming from either side of the lane. So what we have here ladies and gentlemen, is, and this is a libertarian's favorite thing to say whenever there's a stupid fucking law for shit like this, it's a victimless crime. Who did I kill? Who did I rob? Who in the fuck did I do wrong except for the Compton fucking PD cameras that they think that they need to put up to, quote unquote, protect these people? Because nothing says protecting people like having big brother status and having fucking cameras catching motherfuckers just trying to do a U-turn because they accidentally took the wrong exit on the freeway. I don't understand what the fuck. And then here's the kicker, because gee, let me ask you a quick fucking question. So I bust what they claim is an illegal U-turn. I'm not hit. I didn't hit nobody. I didn't cause nobody issues. As far as I'm concerned, if the camera wasn't even there, you couldn't even fucking tell my ass at a fucking U-turn. Tell me what you think the fine is for doing some shit like that.
Is it more than 100?
Yes, but ballpark figure though. Ballpark figure. Like, let's not say even without that clue. Take a wild guess what you would assume a fair minimum would be for something like that.
Like 150.
Well, G, I'll have you know that your boy got hit with the bill, and we looking at a grand total of $486 fucking dollars for this bullshit. That's what the fuck I'm saying. $486 fucking dollars? Bro, at least take me out for a nice dinner and let me get dolled up before you fuck me in the ass like that, Compton Car. Because that's the thing. They didn't want to give it to me in a ticket. It was a quote-unquote citation, even though, like I said, victimless crime to the point where there wasn't even a fucking cop that stopped me. It was a fucking camera. But yet, they still ran my plates and they get it as a citation because apparently they think that this is something that they could fight off, which I don't understand. It's like, listen, why in the fuck... You got to give motherfuckers options first and foremost, bro. Because they immediately, with a citation, they're just like, well, they expect you to try to fight that shit off. But listen, it was a losable battle, bro. Like, I knew I fucked up. But in all reality, bro, $486 worth of a fuck up, dog? Doubt that. And that's the thing with citations. It's not, you're not technically paying a ticket. You're paying a citation, which means, i.e., you're paying, quote unquote, bail. So your boy is like having to fucking pay bail out here and shit, and it's just like, fuck, dude. Like, I hit with the fucking news, like, out of the blue. I was at work and I was like, what the fuck, dude? This is some bullshit. And then I'm just like, and then they were just like fucking talking to me about bail and shit like that, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this bail, bro? Why the fuck do I feel like I'm fucking Akon, just like fucking, you know, just in this motherfucker, like bail means you're locked in the pen. I'm free as fuck, son. All right, but they motherfucker got a motherfucker out here. Like, I'm trying to play. You know what? There you go. There's Spotify. I was trying to play Locked Up by Akon because they were talking about bail and shit. And then Spotify goes and see. Notice how Spotify has been fucking me lately with the fucking songs that I use for jokes. All right, first it was the Tokyo Drift, then it was the fucking Akon Locked Up Right Now. But when we were listening to Deep Purple, though, was there any problems? Any fucking problems when the mics weren't rolling?
It's only when we're on air.
Only when we're on fucking air does the fucking Spotify decide to act all fucking retarded, bro. I swear to God, Spotify, you daft cunts need to get this shit the fuck together, bro. And fucking T-Mobile too, man. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, I paid for fucking unlimited, but I went past 50 gigs. So now, quote unquote, I went past my, what they would consider their quality fucking like 4G. So basically, like, you get up to 50 gigabytes of good 4G. After 50, it's basically like standard. You might get signal here, you might not get signal here. And they tell you this too. Like, hey, you gone past your 50 gigabytes. You still get unlimited, but you're going to witness a drop in quality. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So let me get this straight then. If you're going to drop my quality for how much 4G I use because you claim I use too much, even though I'm paying for unlimited, so does that mean you're going to also lower the quantity of my fucking bill this month? Since apparently you're actually charging me unlimited rate for less than unlimited quality of fucking 4G. You see where I'm coming at, G? Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You're right.
I'm right. All right. Call me a fucking Republican because I'm right, fam, even though I'm libertarian in this bitch. Because it's like, if my shit unlimited, then my shit unlimited. Don't go offering me no unlimited if you're not expecting motherfuckers to take you up on that offer, bro. It's like, what the fuck, T-Mobile? You fucking me in the ass. If it ain't Compton Courthouse, it's fucking T-Mobile. It's fucking Spotify. Gee, I'm surprised you're not trying to fuck me in the ass right now, bro, because I'm feeling like I'm just getting fucked left and motherfucking right here. You see where I'm coming at, bro? Your boy's a little heated, mainly because of that $486 bail, apparently. So if you're hearing this right now, you're hearing the words of a felon, apparently, a man who's been locked up because I got to pay bail. I'm locked up. They won't let me out. And guess what? I didn't need Spotify to sing that shit because apparently this shit don't want to be in his fucking batteries right now.
For the record, I'm not sure why he's surprised why I'm not fucking him in the ass. That's not something I do regularly.
Wait,
for the
record. First of all, did you just hear what you just said right now?
I know what I said.
I will rewind this back. You said you are not surprised.
No, I said I don't know why you said...
Oh, I'm surprised that, yeah, I'm not fucking him in the ass. I'm like, gee, what the fuck, son?
And I said, I don't do that on a regular, for the record.
What a cream puff. But anyways, well, on the regular, motherfucker, you don't do that shit. Period, dog. I think you need a... Hey, listen.
Period.
Tony Talk does not condone fucking another man without their consent, you know? And in this case, I'm not consenting. G's not consenting, so we're not going to do nothing like that. There's two straight males here. My left testicle's hurting a bit because I put my jeans on too quick and the middle part kind of split my nuts and I think my fucking left nut is like kind of like twisted a little bit and I hate that shit. You ever had those moments where your nuts kind of get a little tangled up because you put on your jeans too fast and shit?
No, I've gotten where I have to, where I've zipped part of the...
Ooh, 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 ooh. That's not the kind, bro. You're just like, oh, nuts. Yeah, you say, get it. Bring it back full circle, this motherfucker. But yeah, man, so that's the story, G. Your boy out here getting fucked in the ass. $486, but you know what? Like a fucking savage, all right? Your boy, he got a little upsetty spaghetti. You know, I'm human. I get upset. You know, I'm upset. $50,000 on my head. That's not scary. Anyways, but so I just took a deep breath. Took a hit of my pen, which, by the way, I think I want to do it right now. So where to put my shit? Oh, my shit right over there. I'll get that later. And assess the situation. I have until December 2nd to pay off my bail. See, just hearing this, I sound like a felon, bro. It's still early October. So if I take a little bit from each paycheck that I got coming up, by the time it gets close to payday, I'll pretty much have 90% of that shit. So I think I'll have 400 by then, and then I'll only have to pay 86 out of pocket for the rest, but that's no skin off my nutsack because I'm like, that's affordable. That's reasonable for a victimless fucking crime.
Did they send you the picture?
Yeah, first, as a citation. And I could have went to court to solve it if I could. But I didn't because I'm like, I'll just wait for the ticket, thinking it's not going to be a lot. Like, bro, my mom, I don't want to put her business out there, but she got caught lacking without a license. She got 500. I busted a fucking U-turn on an empty street and I get 486. I get 95% of her fucking bill. And it's and it wasn't only that. It was first it was texting while driving, and then they threw the fucking thing on top of that. And she still only got 500. How the fuck, what is Compton doing? Because that's LA PD. What the fuck is Compton PD doing that they feel appropriate for them to charge $486 fucking dollars for busting a quote-unquote illegal U-turn? Damn. Where is the justice here, bro? No justice, no peace. Now I know how MLK feels, bro. No, I'm just kidding. but I don't know. I'm gonna end it there, man. I just put my mom's shit all on blast, though. We took care of it, though. Paid that shit up, no problem, bro. Money ain't a thing to us. But listen, also at the same time, bro, we don't want to be throwing away, you know, money all retarded and shit like that, you know? So, unfortunately, your boy got caught with the candy camera. I also got to pay back $2,000 for some other shit I did a while back, too, bro. And I still got to finish paying off the last couple of cases of the dead end of food. So, I got bills all over these hills, you feel me? But, you know, slowly but surely, we're going to take those knocked out. Hopefully, by mid-next year, bro, I'm basically, like, without any bills aside from my usual cell phone and whatever. It's, like, dead. Any, you know, investment payments are all been paid off, and I can start, you know, finding a way to flip my investments and try to get some money back so I actually have something worth saving or at least investing, you know? So come to find out that, you know, eventually we will get there. Like Kendrick Lamar said, my N-word, we gonna be all right. And you know what else is all right? A little movie me and G saw called Venom! That Eminem song will never not be fucking cringe funny to me. But yes, we both saw Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And first and foremost, you know, here on the Tony Talks review, the Tony Talks takes, we're going to give our take on the movie. First and foremost, we're going to start with, do a quick drum roll. And then at the same time, on the count of three, we're going to give it our review at a score out of 10. So I'm going to give you a quick 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Level 7. Up. 5. Level up. Well, I did a drum roll. Well, 7.5. I give it a 6.5. God damn it, G. Look, there you go. You say you weren't gonna fuck me in the ass, and what's the first thing you do, G? You fuck me right in the ass, dog. No lube, no pillow to bite on, bro.
Well, that's how you know this is not rehearsed.
Exactly. This is all off the motherfucking cuff, dog. No rehearsals in this motherfucker. No rehearsals. No rehearsals. No rehearsals. I can't talk today.
No rehearsals,
bro.
No. Only reversals.
Oh, hey, like it's the fucking WWE. I like how they say it in Spanish because they still started saying it in English. Like WWE. How do you say W in Spanish?
Doble U or doble V. Depends who you ask.
Oh, is it like a turf thing?
It's like
we don't say soda, we say pop type of situation.
It's like you don't say Hawaii anymore. It's Hawaii.
Hawaii? Who the fuck says Hawaii?
Ask people why. That's how you
sound like a Russian thing. Oh no, German. Oh yeah, let's go to Hawaii.
Because it's like there's two like W.
They burn the pig and they have the hula. Oh, what the fuck? That's stupid, dog. Well, sounds like a German saying that.
But yeah, that's the correct way of saying it, I guess.
Ain't no correct way when the English language was already made incorrect, fam. You feel me? It's like since the beginning of time, and she's like, think about it. English has been fucked since the beginning of time, bro. Because think about it. What the fuck is silent letters? Why the fuck do I have to spell pneumonia with a P? That's why I say pneumonia, because you got me fucked up. I'm like, you wrote this, motherfucker. Who came up with this shit? Fucking... Cholo is spelled with an X. Xolo.
Oh,
yeah, like Cholo is spelled X-O-L-O. You know, like fucking Oaxaca is spelled with an X.
But that's not English.
No, but that's still though. Like in terms of saying it in English, it's still Oaxaca. Because I think they spell it differently. Do they spell it the same in Spanish?
No, it's spelled the same.
Oh, never mind. I'm just retarded. But either way, you know what I mean though. Some words are spelled kind of retarded. Like why can't shit be spelled the way it sounds? Like the fuck. Anyways, going back to Venom. So I give it a 6.5. You gave it a 7.5. We're gonna give each other some time to say their piece on the movie, the pros, the cons, and why they ultimately decided to give it that final score. Go, G. I will let you go first, since your boy is out here trying to rekindle his thoughts because he really went off on that 486. I'm still pissed off about that bail, but you know what? Go ahead.
So, spoiler alert, but not so much of a spoiler alert, but what kind of bumped it up for me was definitely the ending.
Oh, post-cred scene?
Mm-hmm.
Post-credy, though.
Because, I mean, if you're a Marvel fan, you already know you have to stay beyond the credits, and you get to see a little...
No, but they did do me foul, though, because, you know, usually in fucking Marvel movies, we're used to two endings. One before, like, the straight titles come out. Because you know how at the end of the movie, they do the cool little title card for, like, the main people, the directors, the main actors. And then they do the credit scene. They do the first post-credit scene. Then they do the list of all the rest of the people that were part of this movie. Then at the very, very end, they give a second one. They didn't do that for this one. I was heated, fam.
But despite that, though, like, honestly, I thought it was going to bomb, like, more. I didn't think it... Honestly, I did enjoy the movie. I expected... Like, I went in there not expecting it to be great. So, I guess that's what kind of, like, made it a little better than what I thought it was going to be. I just felt like it was moving a little too fast, though. Like, as far as, like, the ending, like, we only get, like... You know, we only get, like, one final fight scene and shit. I mean, that was the only thing. And then the other letdown... Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it, I mean, it's been out for, like, 2 weeks now.
We give you 5 seconds to... How long do you think this spoiler will take you in terms of time to explain it?
Not too much. It's just...
What would you say? Would you say a quick 15, 30 seconds? So fine. Skip over maybe 15, 30 seconds. She will give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Alrighty, let him have it.
So yeah, so the letdown was just the fact that... Because I thought... shit, I forgot her name. But the woman, the one with the Sonic voice or whatever.
Sonic Boom. No, just kidding. I don't know her name.
What was her name? I forgot. But I thought she was also gonna transform. So that was a little bit of a letdown. But yeah, other than that, like, I did enjoy the movie. And obviously because of the post-credit scene. That made me excited.
That's the one that bumped you up. Because I got a 6.5, I got a 7.5. So that means it bumped you up one hole. You were like, holy shit, fam.
So what about you? What did you like?
What
didn't you like?
Oh, Shriek. Literally, her fucking name is Shriek. Because, you know, she yells and it's like really bad. I give it a 6.5. You know, it's a good score because I feel like it was a good movie. But I feel like it definitely could have done a lot. One, you said it kind of like goes pretty fast. Which me, I don't really mind. Because, I mean, think about it. We got the first Venom movie to really give us the backstory of Venom and that connection. Now, what I liked in this sequel is that it kind of picked up where it left off. It's like, you already know what the fuck's going on, dickhead. Like, let's you know, Venom, fucking Eddie Brock, they're one and the same, essentially. You know, they have that intertwining connection. I kind of like this whole thing of, like, you know, like, Venom having to try to adapt to being a quote-unquote good person because I guess the direction this series wants to take it is Venom is a good person. You know, even though it's in the comics, he's always been like crazy villain.
Anti-hero kind of. I mean, he's always. Well, that's the thing.
No, but in this one, he's definitely tested to be more of a good person. Like, spoiler alert, I would say maybe skip 5-10 seconds, but he does not. Once again, not a big spoiler. 5-4-3-2-1. But you know how in the movie, like, he's not supposed to eat humans. Eddie Brock's trying to make him only eat chickens and chocolate and shit like that.
Vegan.
Yeah, ish. You know, at least Venom-wise. So it's just like those little elements are like that letting you know like they're really trying to push for him to kind of really step away from the whole thing. Which, I mean, he's done some anti-hero stuff in the comics and in the past. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, with me, it's like, listen, okay, fine. You turn him into a hero because he's fighting Carnage, which is basically like a really more worse or eviler version of Venom. But at the same time, it's like, you know, like, you still need to show your Venom-esque. And I feel like we never really got much of that, not up until near the end. Because throughout the film, they sprinkled in a couple moments of the Venom action, but in the end, that's where we really got fight scene at the end, the climactic fight. That one was pretty dope. I feel like Woody Harrelson as Carnage, I feel like he did a pretty good job because I feel like the guy was a natural born killer, so he's not used to, he's used to playing a serial killer, you know, in the past. So I'm sure this is
I think he was a good cast for that character, but I think they just didn't take advantage of him.
They did not, and mainly because this was still a PG-13 fucking movie, bro. You know, and you know what? I could see that post credit scene kind of lets me know why they still decided to keep it PG-13 because it's like, you know, they're still, in a way, fucking with entities that are PG-13, you know, so they can't really. Because think about it, it's from Sony, and it's like Fox Marvel already did the rated R thing with fucking the last Wolverine movie and fucking Deadpool, so I feel kind of bad that Sony Marvel, you know, for whatever they still have Venom for, didn't really get a chance to really pull the trigger, you know, like I didn't like the way like a lot of stuff was like there was like zero, hardly any blood. You know, when somebody got, like, fucking murdered or, like, had to decapitate or whatever, it was always off-screen. You know, like, even the death at the end, you know, like, it happened off-screen. I was like, that's, bro, you got one of the most violent, vicious characters. He's literally a serial killer. That's his alter ego. You know, coming into the fucking movie, like, because when I first saw him in the post-credits scene for the first Venom movie, I'm thinking to myself, oh, damn, they're going to really go for that rated R, fam. Because it's Carnage. It's in his fucking name. This guy brutally murders people. He just wants to see the fucking world burn a la Joker, you know? It's like, so I don't understand why they couldn't just kind of really put that. Because think about it. It's like, they're not really doing, like, aside from the post-credit scene, this movie could have literally been its own fucking thing. And it felt like its own fucking thing. You know, it wasn't attached to anything else Marvel related. So it's like, why in the fuck would you not just kind of being like, all right, before we really let Venom get in that universe, you know, like, or in any universe, before we try to intertwine them as eventually everything gets intertwined in Marvel, it's like, why can't we just have a little fun and at least give people what they want? Because think about it. Even if you make the next Venom encounter PG-13, if you really give a motherfucker a really good rated R movie, motherfuckers would be interested, period. You know, and I feel like the first Venom movie, I feel like the Venom movies have been good, but they could have been great. It could have been so much better if they were given a little more creative freedom, if they really were given the opportunity to really portray the characteristics of that character and the villains a lot more better. Because even Shriek didn't make any sense. She was cool up until near the end. It was like, spoiler alert, 30 seconds, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, skip forward 30 seconds. At the end of the fucking battle, when Connor's gonna kill fucking Eddie Brock's girl, and then all of a sudden she has a chain, like, this is going too far. I'm like, you saw literal people die, like get decayed, like, in the most gruesome ways ever, and you kidnapped this bitch, and now you're surprised that she's gonna die? What do you mean you're going to? I feel like that was like a cop-out moment for them to have that moment where the Carnage symbiote takes over more than Woody Harrelson's character. I was about to say Woody Allen. Woody Harrelson's character. And it's just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, come on now. You could have done this so much better. You know, like in the movie where, like when she shrieks, you know how the symbiotes are noise sensitive. I mean, she could have just, you know, the way I would have rewrote it, have her try and help in the fight. And she keeps screeching to the point where, like, the symbiote just gets sick. Because he was showing that he was getting sick and tired of it. Like, yo, shut that bitch up. I feel like she should have just kept pushing his button with that to the point where he kind of takes over and he's just like, listen, either shut her up or I'm going to shut her up for you. And then that's when fucking Woody Harrelson's character is like, wait, no, what the fuck are you doing? We're supposed to be one. He's like, no, fuck that. I'm the one that gives you the powers to let you, you know, unleash this carnage. So if you want me around, it's either me or her. And he gives him that ultimatum. Like, this is something that would make sense. Mm-hmm. But then out of the blue, the evil person who've witnessed multiple murders, ungodly murders, just goes, hey, this has gone too far. Like, I'm sorry, but the way your character's made in this movie, there's no such thing as too far. Straight up, there's no such thing as too far. Mm-hmm. You're boning Carnage, fam. I'm sorry, but if you're boning a serial killer, you really gotta let a lot of shit go. You know? And then, also, I didn't really feel like that moment where Venom and the symbiote were kind of having their, like, clash of, like, you know, personalities and, like, you know, the relationship was being tested. I feel like that wasn't, you know, really looked upon too much. I feel like that maybe could have kind of, you know, been like, I would have loved to see like a story where, like, you know, Eddie Brock tries to go at Carnage alone and tries to see, like, maybe he can tap into, like, his psychosis and be like, listen, you trusted me with being the person that told your story. Why can't you just talk to me and figure out what this is? Like, I am, like, I, like you said, you know, you see a lot of me in you. And that's the truth even more now than ever, because we both got symbiotes now.
Like, I feel,
and
like,
I was able to use my symbiote for good. Why can't you probably do the same? Or at least not having to do all this destruction. Like, you know, you have your closet, your skeleton in your closet, the backstory about why he became the person he was, you know, with the neglect, with the abuse. I'm like, why can't you have that moment where they try to have that, like, moment of humanization? Carnage says, no, fuck you. The symbiote kind of takes over mentally. And then, you know, as soon as you think fucking Eddie Brock is done for, boom, Venom! And, you know, and it's just like I said, it's these little changes that could have made this movie a bit more enjoyable, you know?
I just feel like for Carnage being the big character that he is, an important character in that whole, you know, Venom, Spider-Man series, I think it was just too much of a, I don't know, it was just too quick.
That's like the yin to his yang.
I feel like he deserves at least a second part. Like, I didn't think he should have died in this one. Spoiler alert. But he deserved, like, a much longer screen time. Like,
he
saved yourself the rest.
He did. Not only that, but I feel like, yeah, definitely, like if you were going to introduce Carnage, because that's the character that everybody and their mama wanted to fucking see, bro. It's like, I definitely feel like you should have taken the time to really flush out that character a bit more before you, you know, decided to really pull the trigger. But I get why they kind of did, because, you know, post-credit scene will really explain everything. You know, it's all part of a bigger picture here. So, I mean, either way, listen, in my opinion, final verdict for me, Venom, good movie, not great, but good in the sense of, like, it's a good action film. It's a good popcorn action film to you to go see, get some entertainment, have some good moments, have your friends singing the Venom song after, you know, on the way back home.
Well, definitely, you know, better than what I expected, just because, I mean, I already had low expectations for it, so definitely it was an entertaining movie.
Venom! I got the adrenaline in on. All right. Moving on to another talking point for the podcast. Doing so far, we're always at the, we're pretty much at the halfway mark. recently, a lot of things have been coming out, man. October is the month to be dropping stuff, not only in theaters, but even in your famous streaming platforms, too. And you know your boy out here doing the open mics, trying to get the stand-up game up and popping. So you know your boy has to keep his, you know, his homework on check, which means I'm always, you know, making sure I'm, you know, running back and looking at some of the great comedians that I look up to and that I admire and I idolize. And one of them recently dropped his final Netflix special. Well, we don't know if it's a final, but in terms of his contract, because he was, I think he was there for a 3 special deal. This is his last one. Dave Chappelle recently dropped his new special. I think it's called The Closer? The Closer, I think. But anyways, last special takes place in Detroit right after, I think it was after Sticks and Stones. And as you would expect, it's Dave Chappelle at his most Dave Chappelle-y. And I feel like the reason why Dave Chappelle is
a lot of buzz.
A lot of buzz. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to just talk about the special first and foremost. And I feel like seeing this at the end of it, I really, and this is not just me kissing the guy's ass because he's one of my favorite comics of all time, but like the reason why he's one of my favorites is because I could really dissect what he does. And I feel like, because I've loved Dave Chappelle since like his specials from 04, back when he's doing this 04 special in San Francisco and the one in DC that everybody knows, you know, and then the show and stuff like that. But seeing him progress, you know, for someone who's been like ran through the ringer in this showbiz entertainment, you know, having to fight for his shows that are being like exploited on like other social streaming platforms and stuff like that, really trying to be like his own person and not be consumed by like, you know, the Hollywood element that, you know, plagues a lot of comedians that want to go into do other things. He definitely is his own people person. And you also see that in the way he matures, because I feel like Dave Chappelle back in the day was just jokes, 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 jokes. Now he can give you an engaged, like it feels like at certain points he's engaging with you in like an intimate conversation. He's storytelling. He's really building up the punchlines to these jokes. Sometimes you don't even think the punchline's even coming yet, and he just throws you one out of the fucking blue, you know? And the good thing about him is he hits a wide range of emotions. He talks about heavy shit. He talks about funny shit. He talks about things that, you know, make the crowd, you know, like basically like stay quiet because it was some heavy stuff to talk about. Suicide. Things like that too, like, you know, reminiscing about a story about, you know, a comedian that, you know, he was good friends with that committed suicide, and like, and still finding a way to make jokes, and, you know, and reassuring the audience, like, trust me, this person would want me to make these jokes, because at the end of the day, like, he is a true comics comic, in the sense of like, at the end of the day, bro, as long as you're making people laugh, who gives a fuck what anybody else is thinking, bro? Because, you know, especially stand-up comedy right now, it's like at a point where like it's being, you know, being held under a microscope, and everybody and their fucking mom is looking for something to fucking to be offended about. They can't. It's like, I don't know what is it about. As the future progresses, we just you know, unlearn to take a fucking joke. And you could even just look at the feedback he's gotten from the special. You know, trans communities are asking for him to be canceled. Even black communities are calling him a quote-unquote white supremacist, or exemplifying examples of white supremacy. I'm like, did you not see what color this guy is? It's like that Dave Chappelle skit, you know, that blind black guy that takes the KKK. That's what y'all looking like at. Like you're thinking he's like this actual guy, you know? And it's like, it's because you just said a bunch of jokes that didn't fly with you. But at the end of the fucking day, though, that's the main thing right there. They're what? They're jokes, you know? You got to take them as it is, which is not so seriously. You know, it's like, it's not a comedian's job to walk on eggshells just to satisfy one person in a crowd of 100. You know, if 99 of these motherfuckers laugh, but one isn't, I should be ashamed of that. I should be put down for that. I should be quote unquote canceled for that. It makes no sense. And you can really see it because, yeah, like there is no better way to really judge a Dave Chappelle special than looking at Rotten Tomatoes, because the critics, you know, the ones that give it the freshest meter, yeah, they say it's like a 2%. Zero audiences, 98, 99, 100%. Like, this is the audience reviews versus the like the critics reviews, the ones that get hired to do this shit. Way down. I'm talking 2% for the fucking critics, but 99% for the fucking audience. Like, this, like, that just shows you this was not made for the mainstream, quote unquote. You know, like the cookie cutter safe audience. This is for people that genuinely enjoy, are fascinated by the elements of comedy i.e. the parts that make you somewhat uncomfortable or kind of make you go, whoa, where are we going here?
And then most of
but
all,
but then
like
at the end, you laugh. And it's freedom of speech, too, of course. Of course. Gee, I'm rambling, but that's just me, you know, analyzing the fuck out of a stand-up comedy set. So have you seen the special?
Yeah, I watched it.
So
watched
what do you think? What do you think?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like any other comic. I mean, I feel like that's what they stand up for. Like, if freedom of speech wasn't even a thing, like, what would comedy even be? Or what would comics even be? Like, there's only so much that you could make jokes about that it's just going to become, like, very repetitive everywhere you go. People are just going to be coming up with the same jokes.
And you know what I also like about these comics? Like, every comic that really pushes the envelope for material. One, they do it in a way where it's smart and clever. Because I'm not going to lie. Like, being in the open mic scene and, like, really taking a look at the stand-up, there's a lot of people that just want to, like, say some edgy shit in hopes that they would get a laugh or at least get people talking about them. Because, like, hey, they say edgy shit. It's like, no, it's not just about... It's not... Ooh. It's not about saying edgy shit that pisses people off. It's about taking sensitive material and trying to make jokes out of it in a way where it's clever and has people thinking, you know? And that's what I feel like Dave Chappelle did. Like, my favorite one was the baby one, you know, where he was just like, imagine that. This guy shot and killed somebody at a Walmart. Nothing happened in his career. He made, like, one homophobic rant, you know, at a music festival, and his career is ruined. And it just shows you that you can kill another black person, nobody bats an eye, but you can't fucking, you know, make fun of homosexual people. He's not saying that homosexual people are like, all homosexuals are like these, like, entitled people that are very sensitive. He's just making fun of the fact that people are punishing him for one thing when he's done things that are way more severe. And that shows the duality in the way people judge a person and his actions. He's like, kill it. I mean, you're a rapper. Like, I said this. I said kind of the same thing. I was like, yeah. I'm like, I told people, are like, can you believe what the baby said? I'm like, this motherfucker's from fucking South Carolina. He's a South Carolina fucking rapper who shot and killed somebody. Are you surprised that the guy doesn't have the most progressive views on homosexuals, bro? It's like, go anywhere in his fucking area where he grew up. I guarantee you there's like 100 other people with the same mentality, bro. You know, because that's just the way people are come up on. You know, there's some people that still aren't hip to what's going on because at the end of the fucking day, they're just in their own, like, the baby's in his own fucking bag. He really thinks he has time to really, like, take a fucking social justice cultural awareness class and shit like that. No, dude, like, he's fucking, the guy was not made to be the fucking next MLK, bro. He's here just to make rap music. All right, that's it. He knows his place. He says some out-of-pocket shit, but he's an out-of-pocket rapper who literally has a fucking, like, body record, you know? Like, yeah, it's, like, this is what shows you the selective outrage that's happening in today's society. And I got that all from a simple joke that made me laugh first and foremost, you know? Because you really see the silliness in the situation when somebody really just puts a mirror to it. And I feel like that's the brilliance of that type of joke making. But a lot of the, quote-unquote, comedy audience that, you know, is, you know, trying to cancel everybody from here to Timbuk fucking too, that goes right over their head. All they hear is, oh, he's making homophobic comments because he's defending the baby. He's like, no, he's not defending the baby. He's just, you know, trying to bring to light the silliness of the situation on what you're choosing to judge him on. You know, like, that to me, you know, is funny because it's like, yeah, that's crazy, but at the same time, it's like, that's clever. You know, that's smart. And nobody wants to kind of really see that. They're just like, is he saying things that I like or not? And that's it, you know? But that's just the way I see it. G, continue. Sorry.
Now, from what I got from the whole, the show as a whole, especially once he ended the, you know, his set, was just the like, pointing out the hypocrisy in people, pretty much. Like, if you pay attention to the story, he says at the end, it was... You know, he talks about one of his friends that belonged to that community, that, you know, the people that keep criticizing him for it.
Transgender.
And then it shows the hypocrisy of how a person that belongs to that community is basically taken to a point where they're being bullied or cyber bullied by their same community.
Solely for trying to stand by the side of a fucking friend who knows him on a personal level. All these people talking on this shit, they don't know him on a personal level. This person does, which is why she chose to defend it. It's like, you're choosing to judge him on something that is not even be meant to be taken seriously. I know the guy personally. I'm going to tell you right the fuck now. He's not no transphobe. This guy right here is the sweetest, kindest person in the thing. And for standing up for somebody and for standing up for the freedom of people to be doing the type of stand-up that they want to do, she was literally, like, essentially, and I don't want to, like, make this the case because, you know, that's kind of extreme. But it's, like, essentially she was kind of, like, you know, bullied and harassed to the point where she wants to kill herself, bro. Like, it drove her to a sense of suicide. Listen, if you don't want to make the argument it didn't drive her, it sure as shit didn't help her. Mm-hmm. It sure as shit didn't help the situation, you know? She stood up for her fucking friend because he's being judged by people that don't even know him, and then she knows him. So it's like, you know, like that, like, exactly. It puts people in a situation when they're like, look, like a mirror. It's like, look at what your community is doing. You claim to be the community of acceptance, love, and progress, but yet when somebody decides to defend somebody that you deemed wrong, not nobody else, but you guys only, and you push the person to do some, like, horrendous thing to themselves, and you still want to go about having this moral high ground. It's like, bro, you can't have the moral high ground. And that's the thing, too. This is not, like, a kick to the trans community. It's just kind of a way to be like, hey, listen, like, look at the way you guys are doing your shit, you know, like, and this is what I've been talking about for a long time. It's like, I feel like so many people are too quick to react rather than respond, you know. It's like, let's react with emotion first rather than let's take everything in and respond accordingly after we've really analyzed what the fuck's going on.
And then the thing is, like, because if you do pay attention to his show, he does bring in the whole time, yeah, a large percent of it, yeah, he focused on the whole transgender and LGBT community, whatever. But then he also brought in the whole feminist aspect into it, where he talks about how, like, they've been going about their things the wrong way. Like, he says he considers himself a feminist, but he agrees with some of the views the feminists have. But the way that they did the whole Me Too movement and shit, he said they went about it the wrong way. So it's just like, it's not necessarily like a stab at this community. It's like, it could have been any other community, but from what I got from the show, or whatever, it's just it shows the hypocrisy of these, you know, social groups, and when things are convenient to them, you know, like, they agree with it. If they hear something that's not so, you know, aligned with what they think, then they start, you know, bashing it or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I know we've been going on for a cool minute, but yeah, that's pretty much, like, our final, like, thoughts on it. You know, I loved it. Dave Chappelle, as always, knocking out of the fucking park. This man does not miss, takes zero L's, you know. Gotta catch the guy on tour. I think him and Joe Rogan were supposed to do a show. He has a show at the Hollywood Bowl. I want to see if there's still tickets for that. Because he does cool shit. Like, he's not just a comedy show. He actually does, like, live music and artists and shit like that. You know, they open for him. Mm-hmm. And he would bring on, like, old school rap groups. Like, I think A Tribe Called Quest opened up for him once. He had The Roots, you know, open up for him once. It was crazy. So, like, you know, like, yeah, he really is, like, you know, true pioneer and really, you know, pushing the boundaries. Not only in terms of subject, but in terms of, like, what it is to, like, put on a comedy show, you know. So yeah, I give it 10 out of 10. You can call it a bias thing because I'm a huge Dave Chappelle fan, but at the end of the fucking day, it's Dave Chappelle doing what the fuck Dave Chappelle does. And as a Dave Chappelle fan, if I'm getting what I'm asking for, why would I not give it a 10? You know, you feel me? That's just the way I look at it. You know, I ask you for a motherfucking burger, you give me a burger, and I say that burger was fire. Why? Because I wanted a burger. And once you give me a burger, and guess what? We all walked away happy. I wanted a Dave Chappelle special that was Dave Chappelle. I got Dave Chappelle. I walked away happy. What can I say? One of the best stand-up specials in 2021. Well, I mean, one of the major ones so far. Yeah. Because 2020 was somewhat popping, and 2019 too. 2019, 2020, that's when the specials were popping. A couple more need to pop up now. Because they're transitioning over to YouTube now too. I feel like they can get, like, more eyes on it on YouTube. Like, fucking Mark Norman. Remember? I played you his thing.
Which one?
No.
The Italian dude?
No. The fucking... We watched it with Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was on YouTube. Out to Lunch, his special. It was supposed to be for Comedy Central, but he just said, fuck it. I'll just put that shit on YouTube. And yeah, that shit ended up getting millions of fucking views. Mm-hmm. Imagine on Comedy Central. He could have got to the millions, but nowhere near as fast as on YouTube. You know, and that got people talking about him more, which is why he's able to kind of do more shows and stuff like that. You know, it's all about the quantity of people watching you over the quality of where your shit's being played at. Because, yeah, Comedy Central, you think to yourself, well, of course, it's a big thing. And it's a big thing, you know, having a Comedy Central like special. But it's like we're living in a time now where like motherfuckers can do shit wherever now, you know. So we got to get on that hype train, bro. We gotta get on OnlyFans.
Do a TikTok.
We gotta get on OnlyFans. God, no. No. TikTok comedy. Fuck no. Listen here, buddy. Oh my God. Hold on. Visualize this goddamn wine. Listen here and listen good and listen loud. All right. Look with your ears and listen with your eyes. All right. Because I'm gonna only say this shit once for you. Never. As long as I wake up and get out of bed. And as long as my lungs take in air and my heart beats in my fucking chest, you will never, and let me double state this, never see Tony Talks on TikTok ever. The minute I do, the live on this podcast, bro, I want you to give me 30 lashes. 30 fucking lashes like we're in the ancient Roman time. That's how fucking confident I am that you will never see Tony Talks on TikTok. TTP. Hey, TTP, but the TT don't stand for TikTok. You feel me? So fuck out of here with that bullshit. Catch your boy on the gram and on Twitter. Twitter ain't as popping, but you know what? We'll get it there when we get it there. Right now, the gram is popping, though. At Tony Talks PC for Instagram and Twitter. But and it's not the end of the show though too.
And Spotify and anywhere else you can.
Spotify,
find.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, shit. Probably some crackhead is selling fucking burnt CD copies of the episodes on the back of his fucking truck somewhere in the fucking hood. Buy it from that motherfucker to support your local entrepreneurs in this bitch. You already know the fucking vibes. You know, it's fucking I don't know where the fuck I was going with this. What the fuck are we talking about?
Tony Talks is never going to be.
Oh, yeah. TikTok. Tony Talks never going to be on fucking TikTok. Never. Never. All right. You still not on TikTok? To this day. To this day. Which, by the way, did you see that Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight?
Missed it.
Oh, missed it. I saw that shit live and in person. And, buddy, when I tell you, you need to put some fucking respect on Tyson Fury's fucking name. No better fucking example than that goddamn fight. For 11 rounds, this man was knocking this fool's noggin like it was a basketball on a court, fam. He kept hitting him with that right to the fucking ear, fam. He left it open like some horse fucking leg at a goddamn fucking brothel in Amsterdam, which will probably fly over right now because, you know, it's never too fucking early or too late for some pussy, especially European pussy. You dig? Hold up. Tony Talks lesson of the day. That fight was incredible. It just showed you how much of a masterclass Tyson Fury can fucking put on. And he was at his heaviest, too, 277. So people thought with that heaviness was going to come a little bit of slumpness. Oh, no. The man was swinging for the fences like a motherfucker, dog. And honestly, I'm going to keep it a total stack. And a lot of people might have, like, a harsh criticism to this opinion, and you know what? It is what the fuck it is, but I'm explaining this hard right now. I feel like this third fight shouldn't even have happened because I feel like Tyson Fury won both of them. Let me explain. Yes, in the first one, it was a draw, but did y'all not forget that Deontay Wilder, and I'm going to keep it a stack. I'm going to be a hundo on this motherfucker, bro, 100%, bro, knocked out Tyson Fury bad. We didn't think he was going to get up, and he almost didn't. He got up at the 9, bro. At number 9 out of the 10 count, he got up at 9, bro. Got up fast as fuck, put his hands up, was able to address the ref, came back, and literally kept this man sweating for the rest of the fight. It went to the decision. He was going off and off and on, and it ends in a draw. Tell me this, bro. Tell me this, G. You knock me clean the fuck out. I think I'm ready to go fucking night-night like I just took a fat-ass fucking cap of NyQuil. And somehow I get the fuck up. And granted, I don't knock you back down either, but I beat the shit out of you for those last couple fucking rounds. I take you to school, bro. All right, you got one clean shot, knocked me clean on my ass, but I got the fuck back and I treated your face like it was fucking Play-Doh, bro. And I walked away with a tie. Any motherfucker saw that knockout, they'd be like, Tyson Fury could do whatever, it's gonna be fucking Deontay Wilder. And it was a tie, bro. A draw. You got put on your ass, almost made the 10 count. You got up and were able to secure a tie. Motherfucker, Tyson Fury won that. Even if he didn't want it on record, fucking status-wise, that shows how much you got fucking nuts of steel, bro. If you can get knocked clean on your ass to where motherfuckers think you're down for the count, you get up at the midnight hour at the last second, and then you take the fight to the foot, and you take the fight to the full 12, and you have this motherfucker on the ropes the rest of the time, and you bring it to a draw. You bounce back from that and pick up a draw. So you didn't even pick up an L. Granted, you didn't pick up the dunk, but you did not pick up a fucking L, and that in itself is impressive too. Because any other fucking fighter, bro, that would have still been an L for him. And then the second fight, he proves it by knocking him on his ass too. And then third, we got a repeat. So it was just repetition of what the fuck we already fucking knew, which is Deontay Wilder, unfortunately, is not anywhere near the level that Tyson Fury is, bro. He is the Gypsy King. This man is a fucking slaughterhouse, bro. This man is killing it. We want to see him fight Anthony Joshua. Andy Ruiz said he even wants to fucking try to fight that guy. I'm excited for either or. We need to start these fucking promoters. You need to start getting loose when with their contracts.
Andy, when was Andy's last fight?
I think it was last year. He won it by decision, though. Mm. It wasn't like a knockout or anything like that. The guy was complaining his opponent. He was some fool from Cali. I think he was from like the Valley or something. But yeah, man, as far as I see it, Tyson Fury in this last fight, bro, just came to, like, not even prove a point, but to kind of just being like, duh, you know? Because it was like, I got to show you the highlights, bro. Even if I haven't seen the fight, the highlights, you're going to be like, god damn, bro. Yeah, no, like, even if this went the full 12, bro, you unanimous decision for Tyson Fury, bro. At no point, like I think Tyson Fury got knocked down, same thing, once or twice in the fight. But it wasn't anything major. Like, he got up like that. And then, but then knocked Deontay Wilder down twice, same thing. So he checked him and gave him a receipt for both of them. He's like, you knocked me down twice, I'm knocking guys down twice too. And then the third one, bro, the one that put him on the fucking floor, it was like, it looked like a normal, and that just shows you too, because the punches, they don't look like your standard clean, like crisp punches. These were really, like, unorthodox, like, it looked like he was just tapping them. But fucking Tyson Fury's a giant. That fool's fucking fist is about the size of my head. So, like, his taps are, like, they feel like straight fucking hooks, bro. Because if you look at it, yeah, it doesn't look like he's really, like, putting that much. Like, he's not really pulling it back much. Not a lot of just tap, 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 tap. Like, tap, 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 tap. And then fucking Wilder's fucking just wild. And even the fucking shot that knocked him out, it wasn't like a straightforward, like, wow. It was more just like a, like he was like gonna like fucking like neck this motherfucker. Just like he went like, and then just dunk, and then just, oh shit, fell to the fucking ground, bro. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. This man's a savage. I'm waiting in excitement for his next fight. I hope to Christ one of those super fights with either Joshua or fucking Ruiz. These promoters need to let them be a little more looser, because I'm telling you right now, bro, people are just like, no, we need to preserve our client for the money. You're not telling me that these fights with Joshua or Ruiz won't bring in fucking retarded stacks, bro? Regardless of where it is. And I bet you it's mainly the people that want to broadcast it. Because I bet you Showtime's going to be like, no, we got this, fool. Because the fight was on Showtime. So Tyson Fury's like, no, I'm with Showtime. And then Ruiz, I think, was in ESPN or Top Rank Boxing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you got that, you know. And then Joshua's with the British promoter, with the DAZN. So it's like, you know, like all this like business behind the sea shit is getting in the way of potentially some great heavyweights fights, bro. And boxing needs this shit, bro, because I'm going to keep it a stack right now, bro. Boxing is boring. They got a number of stars, bro. The number of stars you can put in my hands, bro.
Fighters.
Yeah, Canelo, fucking Deontay Wilder might not even be that favorite no more because of that loss. Tyson Fury. What's that one guy that Mayweather's training? What's his name? Hold on. Javonte Davis. There you go. Javonte Davis. Ryan Garcia, but I mean, he's kind of had a bit of a stumble because of that whole mental illness thing. It's like, yeah, like, I'm saying, like, a couple other ones, Anthony Joshua too, maybe a couple British dudes, but it's like, right now, like, bro, look at fucking MMA. How many fucking stars are in MMA? There's a gang of them. You already fucking count, bro. Some in just really, like, certain divisions. Heavyweights, you got Ngannou, you got Stipe, you got fucking, who else? What was like a sick-ass heavyweight? Fucking Derek Lewis, light heavyweights, you got Polish Power, you got fucking, I forgot that one guy's name. He's like some Polish dude, but he has like a samurai braid. It's fucking wicked. That guy's wicked. Glover Teixeira, fucking middleweights, you got Israel Adesanya, fucking welterweights, all these fucking divisions that have stars, McGregor, Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, fucking Dan Hooker, fucking Khabib, fucking, how many stars are coming out, or memorable names are coming out of MMA over boxing, bro? It's like, you got all these people coming out, going retarded, dude. Fucking the Mexican champ, fucking Brandon Moreno, fool. Like, that fool was fucking, as soon as he became champ, that shit was like, fucking, this dude was mean, the president, fucking doing all this shit, bro. It's like, that's crazy, you know? Shit, Andy Ruiz was the first Mexican heavyweight champion. All he got was a fucking parade back at his hometown. Fucking Moreno wins the title out of and he's from TJ. He goes to visit the fucking president. It's like, it's fucking crazy, fam. It's like, you know, it's like, that just shows you, like,
status,
you know? So I feel like, you know, boxing definitely needs to kind of rethink the formula and kind of be like, listen, like, I feel like we need to somewhat work together. Granted, I know we're all separate companies that need to make, you know, our quotas to make us look like we're the best, but maybe we should put that to the side for a bit and really focus on bringing back the excitement and the quality of boxing so that way maybe we can compete with MMA. Because not just UFC, it's Bellator, it's ONE, it's fucking all these other ones that are still fucking out here, you know, coming up on the scene.
There, watch a Combate, I think it's called Combate America.
Combate, yeah, that's like the Mexican one. Yeah, I think Moreno competed in that a couple of times. And then like the minor stuff, because UFC does like a contender series and then the Ultimate Fighter and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of things for people to be interested in MMA over boxing right now, you know. And even MMA fighters who do boxing, like, they're always like still doing the whole comparison, like boxing versus MMA, you know. It's like, who's a better sport? Because think about it, it's the MMA fighters that are going up against, that are challenging the boxers, not the other way around. You know, we ain't never seen one boxer step into the fucking cage, but we've seen boxers step into the fucking ring. And that just shows you, you know, the range that a lot of these MMA guys have, that they'll be like, listen, I'll step away from the cage and get into the fucking ring. And like Anderson Silva was having a couple bad L's in his last fucking fight. And then, you know, he's out here beating Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., bro. Making him look like a chump, which he kind of already is, because I'm not going to lie, the guy's a fucking mess. His father should be like, you clutching on my mind, no matches. But he's like, and he's like fighting people. Like, that just shows you. But then, yeah, you have all these fucking carnival YouTube fights, and it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. What the fuck's going on over here? Anyways, Jesus Christ, we really want a fucking tangent right now. But you know what? I love it, because guess what? We're at 57 minutes, bro. So we're about it. We're about in this goddamn fucking podcast, G. It's the final countdown. But yeah, so we gonna end it with a quick little installment, recurring installment on the podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna give you a good old two for one. We got an installment of a why mixed with a social media shit. I say it's a twofer because A, I got this off of social media. This was a TikTok that was found on my Instagram. So already, we got two socials working on this. But this video got me saying why. G, let me just show you this. The abomination.
That is a motherfucking oven baked spaghetti.
So we make a spaghetti in an oven.
Geraldo, what should we make for dinner today?
Let's make an oven baked spaghetti.
Okay, I could get down with that. Tell me more.
So we're going to do uncooked spaghetti, marinara, onion, garlic, but olive oil, spaghetti needs salt, water, pepper, and Italian seasoning or oregano. Oh,
yes, that's a great idea. Okay. And then cover it with water so that way it can obviously cook.
Yes, but we have to mix it really well to make sure that the spaghetti noodles don't stick together.
Yes, and then cover it and then bake it.
Yeah, and then halfway through we'll mix it just to make sure it doesn't stick.
Okay, I like that idea. And then after that, we got to add a topping. We can't just leave it like this.
Mozzarella cheese, hello.
Yes, okay. I'm so for this. And then rebake it, so then what happens?
So we'll get nice and like bubbly and it'll be mm-mm-mm.
Yes, I like that idea. Okay, let's twirl this spaghetti.
And get this, oh my God. Yes. Talk about easy, delicious, and so damn good.
First of all. Gee, what'd you think of the dish? What did it look like to you?
It's like a DIY type of...
Bro, first of all, where do I begin? These broads say easy. Bitch, just boil the noodles in a fucking pot. And put the tomato sauce. Oh, what is with this? You gotta put the fucking. You gotta stack the spaghetti. You gotta put the onions. This. Just make a sauce. Boil the noodles in a pot. Put them together. Throw some fucking Parmesan on that bitch. That's it.
Parmesan.
They baked it in the oven like twice. And they're talking about it's an easy dish. Also, they cut the spaghetti, so it's not even the straight long noodles. It's like smaller ones. Like you're eating fucking sopa de fideo and shit like that. It's like first of all, Italians are fucking stupid flaming these foods in the comments, bro. Because it's like, why are you oven baking a fucking spaghetti? So for the people that are not seeing the video, they took the spaghetti, put all this shit on it, then just drowned it in water, put it in the oven, all right? So then before putting it in the oven, they spread all the noodles out, and then they put it in the oven, it comes back out like that. So it comes out like looking like just like spaghetti string. Like it doesn't, like the noodles don't even look that thick because you cut them so fucking thin. And then they put fucking cheese on top, and they put it back in the oven, and they take it back out. All for you to get some like fucking 99-cent looking ass noodles and some cheese went all, bro, you're see, this is what I don't like when people overcomplicate simple ass recipes, bro. Spaghetti is simple. You take a pot, fill that hole with water. When it's warm enough, you put the noodles in that bitch, let them get all nice and fucking loosey goosey. You get the sauce. If you want to be lazy, you can just get some ground beef, put some fucking seasoning on that shit, salt, pepper, maybe whatever you want, the fucking normal one. Brown it till it's nicely cooked. Take a thing of ragu, put it in a fucking pot, put the ground beef in that motherfucker, mix it the fuck up so you can have some like ground beef / tomato fucking sauce. Then you take the noodles, you put the noodles in a big pot, you put all the fucking, you know, meat sauce in that motherfucker, you mix it the fuck up, you put it on the motherfucking plate, you throw a little Parmesan on top of that hoe, and that's it. I made you spaghetti in like fucking under 10 minutes. These broads are out here putting spaghetti in the oven two times.
Pasta.
What the, pasta? Run as it be like I'm doing some cardio. I get the core like my ass Super Mario. What the fuck is this pasta bullshit, bro? Like dead ass.
That wasn't even spaghetti. That was basically exactly. Like a lasagna.
Like a spaghetti lasagna that did not need to be made, bro. Just make spaghetti. What is it with these Instagram social media people needing to overcomplicate simple shit? Hey, let's not make a burrito. No, let's make a burrito that's also a pizza and a burger. It's like, we get it. We're flexing on third world countries that have fucking mass starvation issues. Stop it. Stop it, bro. But anyways, we've reached the 1 hour mark. So we're done here. All right. We're closing up shop. Closing time. Every new beginning starts with some other beginnings. And I know who. No, just kidding. But yes, we reached the one hour mark, ladies and gentlemen. So we're done rambling for you for this week's installment. So this has been another installment of the Tony Talks Podcast live from Dublin, Ireland. Of course, want to always thank Dublin. You for Dublin, fam. You fucking. Yeah, what a cunt. Anyways. We want to thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening to us babble for an hour and some change. We love you. Of course, you can follow us if you want to keep up with our personal lives at the Instas, at TonyTalksPC, and at Element G Media. But we also got the personals at Tony_McBadLuck and
at Hera.TheJesus.
Exactly. Of course, all that information will be included in the description of this podcast. Thank you once again for joining me on another installment of the Tony Toss Podcast here in Dublin, Ireland. My name is Tony with
G.
Reminding you to stay safe, stay beautiful, and remember to live, laugh, and lick pussy. Bye.